Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Tis the season and the holidays, and my wife has never done a commercial here in 17 years, but she did one for our friends at DeHarka. We're delivering ice cream here, 8 pints delivered to your door. You set up the delivery, otherwise the ice cream will melt in delicious flavors that my next guest, I'm sure, will enjoy. Use Baltimore Positive for the code. You save $15.70. $40 to your door, Peter King. And they have eggnog and peppermint bark and sweet potato crumble. And it's delicious, but not as good as the beers you drink. You know what? When you were going to come on, I said, Peter King and I have never Zoomed before. He will be wearing a throwback Major League Baseball item of some kind. And you're wearing a Padres. It's
Let's see the whole thing. They call me Peter Machado.
Dude, I see that, and I think Nate Colbert, and I think Winfield, and I think Randy Jones. Nice.
Yeah, we're Barbie the only Jones. Ones who know that because we're so old.
We are old. Been a crazy-ass week here, man. I've been tracking you down for a couple of weeks, and I love, A, that you make time and come on, especially my new thing. I'm doing the Baltimore Positive thing and all that. But, you know, I wanted to have you a month ago when this thing started, and we wind up coming together on the aftermath of the strangest week for a franchise ever, and certainly for the league, and decisions that were made, watching the league play without a quarterback on Sunday, watching my team basically take half the team, you know, off the road on the side of a bus for a week in the biggest game of the year that gets moved 4 times. Set all this into perspective for your reporting over the last 2 weeks, because in the middle of a plague and pandemics and all of the worst-case scenarios that you wrote about back in the spring in this 164-page manual, that manual came in handy last week around here, huh?
Look, of all the things you said, certainly I agree with everything about the ice cream. but I don't think this was the game of the year or the most important game or anything like that, because, and again, I'm not trying to be, Debbie Downer here, but I just never thought that they were beating the Steelers in Pittsburgh in that game. I thought that the most important thing for them was starting with Dallas and then at Cleveland. I mean, that's when every game basically is a playoff game. And if they don't go 5-0, they have to absolutely go 4-1 to have a good shot to make the playoffs. You know that. But I really think that there's a couple of ways that I would look at this past week from the Ravens' point of view. Number one, you know how in the NFL there are all these reports that you hear coming out of a franchise, and there are so many good reporters out there and so many people have sources inside buildings and everything. Here's the thing I found very, very interesting. Not one time in the week that this became really a problem did you ever hear the Ravens saying anything about we're getting screwed, you know, in any reason. Push this game to week 18. We should go to week 18. I got the sense, Nestor, that the Ravens were saying, hey, we are culpable here. We deserve a good amount of the blame here because we know that somebody inside our building probably had a significant amount to do with the outbreak that happened in our building. Now, again, people aren't saying that, but you get a sense that is the Ravens' attitude.
Why aren't they saying that then? You know what I mean? That we're all battling this virus. I mean, there's a lesson to be learned for every business, every pork factory, everyone, right? For downside management of what happened here for the league, for the network, for your network, for everyone, right?
Here's the thing, Nestor. You know, like, if you look at I'm not involved in this aspect of our business, okay? But early in this season, somebody from the NFL told me that by the end of this year, some of these networks are not going to be real happy with us if we have to start moving games and all that. And people in the NFL have been very, very careful not to spill any beans about this. But think of the NBC game on Thanksgiving night, the night before Black Friday. Now, even though Black Friday in 2020 is nothing like Black Friday in any previous year, because there's a lot of people who just aren't going out or who aren't going to be at the malls the next day. But they just spent $13 billion in 2 days on Friday and Saturday retail on Black Friday weekend. So clearly, this is a huge advertising night for NBC and for the NFL. So what happens? The game gets moved once, it gets moved twice, it gets moved three times. And finally, it's on when Days of Our Lives is supposed to be on. And I would hardly think that the advertising rate for 1 minute at 3:40 p.m. on a Wednesday is going to be anywhere near the advertising rate for the night before Black Friday dawns. So you're right. I think the networks have taken their lump of coal as well as the NFL has. I'll just say one other thing about the Ravens, though. And this kind of interests me going forward about the Ravens. And that is that I think when you look at what happened in the game against the Steelers, if that's me, if I'm looking at it from a Ravens point of view, I'm saying we stayed in this game with Trace McSorley rallying us in the last 10 minutes of the game. And to me, I look at that, if I'm on the Ravens and I'm on the plane or one of two planes on the way home, I'm thinking galvanizing moment, a good day. Nobody expected us to win anyway. And deep down, we didn't expect to win either. But galvanizing moment, a good night for our franchise.
Peter King is our guest. Of course, you can follow him at Peter_King and NBC and anywhere good football thoughts and journalism and strategy are discussed. You know, I want to get off the game because it was such like a – it felt like a Thursday night, lousy Thursday night football game with backup quarterback on one team, sort of, you know, half the teams out, all of that. I want to get more into the league and what you're talking about because we're at the point now where a sloppy trainer who – and I know your politics and you know mine. You know, we have half the country here being told by a villainous network and a corrupt leader that the virus doesn't pertain to them. It doesn't come to the White House, doesn't come to all of that. And there are a lot of old white guys in the league that subscribe to that, especially in the coaching ranks and certainly amongst the ownership ranks. You know, see Kaepernick, comma, Colin. But for me, that the notion that one poppy seed in the bakery of the billion-dollar largesse that is the NFL and the biggest night of the year and the biggest rivalry, blah, 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 undefeated, all that, right, goes away, that one poppy seed, you know, that whole cog got screwed up. And then the Denver Broncos case, obviously. But the fact that they would sanction these games, Peter, you're an old guy like me. You remember the scab games. I remember those games back in the 80s when we still had the Colts around here. And we all saw the Replacements movie, right? I have been saying to a lot of wise people like you that I felt like the baseball season was Eddie Fainer. I felt like the hockey season was Eddie Fainer. It was a tournament. It was an exhibition. It wasn't a season. And when you're going to put the Denver Broncos out there without a quarterback and hold your nose and say, that's okay, they broke the rules. Ravens, you've been bad boys. You break the rules. Play with your backups. We don't care. I thought the shield, and again, you speak to the integrity of the league as they move franchises and do all sorts of things with Kaepernick and blackballing players and the knee and Jerry and how they voted and all of that, but I didn't think that they would ever put a football team out on the field without a quarterback. I thought their better instincts of your favorite coffee serving poor coffee in a cup. You wouldn't want to do that to your business.
Agreed, but the alternative – you have three choices in this particular case. You can say, all right, the Denver Broncos, they made their bed, they have to lie in it. That is what Roger Goodell in an October 13 memo to every front office and every coaching staff in the league, that's in essence what he said. if you were at fault for this and you have enough players to suit up, I don't care what position they play, you got to play the game. Now, we probably didn't give that enough attention at the time, because honestly, at the time, nobody could have ever foreseen that an entire quarterback room would have been positive. As Bill Polian told me over the weekend, and he's an advisor to Goodell on this stuff, he goes, basically, Bruce Arians said he's going to keep one of his backup quarterbacks away from the quarterback room for the entire season. Denver had that choice to do it, and they didn't do it. So, you know, that's one thing. There are two other options. You can put it in week 18, all right?
Why do they hate week 18 so much?
Why what?
Why do they hate week 18? Why is that? Is that poison?
It might have to be used. But the reason they don't want to use it, it's exactly the reason why Roger Goodell didn't want to move free agency back and got internally ripped by almost every front office in the league. And he didn't want to move the draft back. And he similarly got ripped by a lot of people in the league, because his feeling was, if there's some proof that 2 weeks from now it's going to be better and we're going to be able to host free agents on visits, then we'll push free agency back. But there's no evidence to suggest that this is just going to go away, even though the president is saying, it's just going to go away. And same thing with the draft. Is there any reason to think that, let's say we push the draft back until June, is there any reason for us to think, this is Roger Goodell and I'm being Goodell, is there any reason to think that the draft, that the virus is going away? No, there's no reason. And that's one of the reasons why they don't want to add another week of football to this season. Because, and especially when the outbreak is exploding. Nestor, you know, this week, as we record this, there are more people dying of the coronavirus on single days than on any previous day of the epidemic in the United States, over 2,000 people a day. And so if you take all that into consideration, what leads you to believe that with everybody inside in the middle of January, that if you push 7 games to a week 10, let's say, what leads you to believe that you're even going to be able to play those 7 games in week 10? You might be able to play 3 of them, and 4 others have to be canceled because you can't play football because of all the positives that you're seeing. That's the biggest reason why I think the NFL hates week 18.
Well, you were going through all of these options. The other one would be like a forfeit because you can't get there. You mentioned Polian. The thing that I was screaming bloody murder about in the, you know, after Sunday, especially with the Denver game, because that was just below the bar. I mean, it just that, you know, Halas and the founder, they nobody would have wanted that. So for them to sanction that, I thought they'll sanction it again and again and again. And it felt like a lesson that, you know, to be taught to the Broncos. The same thing with the Ravens having to post up. And then I thought, where are the grown-ups? You know, who's the grown-up in Roger Goodell's ear saying, probably shouldn't do this. This isn't a good idea. You know, this isn't good long-term. I don't know who's around them. And then the other part I thought about, watching baseball finish its season, basketball finish its season, hockey, all bubbled up, I thought they would at least have a nuclear option to say, you know what? We should look at Florida. We should look at Texas. We should look at Arizona, places where we could take the league for after Christmas, shut down in December, come back. Peter, they could be a World Cup. They could play every day in February and March, literally, and they would own everything if they chose to do that. And there'd be some integrity to this instead of where they're flying right now, which is anytime, anywhere in January, the Chiefs could lose Mahomes and everybody. And then you have Eddie Fainer. I mean, they're going in the Eddie Fainer direction. And that's the part that kind of breaks my heart as a fan.
Yeah, I probably will disagree with you, because the rules have been set. And the rules say that, if your team has enough players to play, and if it's been determined that you bear some responsibility in what's happened to your team, you got to play the game. Now, What'll be interesting to see, I think, in the next few weeks is if there's some absolute happenstance way that some team gets wrecked by this. What would the NFL do, particularly in the case of a team that's playing with playoff implications? That's going to be interesting to see. And again, there is no perfect thing. I wrote this in March, or wrote this in May, rather. If you want football, you have to get ready for an imperfect season with a lot of imperfect things in it. I even forecast in there, I use the Santa Clara at the time. Remember, this was back in the spring, where the people in Santa Clara were saying, we're not sure that we are going to have any sports events or any public gatherings until Thanksgiving, maybe. And so that was the landscape. And my feeling is, Nestor, if you want to have football, and to me, I do understand everybody saying, push it to week 18, push it to week 18. And, you know, I suppose that if they had said, you know, the Broncos don't deserve to play here, you know, what they would have done, though, Nestor, is they would have pushed the game back 2 days and played that one on Tuesday, because then they would have gotten their quarterbacks back. Because if you test 5 days negative, you know, you can come back then and play. So that is probably what the scenario would have been. I still think it's – wouldn't want to say it's likely, but I still think it's very possible they're going to have a week 18 because of some unforeseen event that's going to happen sometime in the next 4 weeks.
What do you call it, a contract? Cause majeure. Peter King here from NBC. Just sort of the last thing that this – and I love talking football with you, but I'm having a hard time seriously talking about the Chiefs or the Steelers as an undefeated team, or how the Bills are doing, or how any of these – because I do feel like, you know, it's in jeopardy. The whole thing's in jeopardy. The whole country's in jeopardy right now, as we pointed out. But I do feel like it's harder to discuss long-term who's going to look good in the playoffs when I'm not sure who's going to be standing up. So from that perspective, I think it's the weirdest thing to try to take the conversations as seriously as maybe we once did, but when it was a whole lot more fun to talk about football.
Nestor, last night, just before I went to bed, I had a guy who follows me. He said, do you think it's fair that the Chiefs or Steelers might go 15-1 and have to play in the first round of the playoffs? And I don't know. You know, you just got through seeing a game pushed to Wednesday, postponed three times, and then finally played on Wednesday, and it felt like a total bizarre event. And you know, all these other things that are happening. And I responded, and I know it's kind of a smart-assy thing to say, but I just said, not high on my list of concerns. I agree with you. I agree with you exactly that to me, the difficult thing in trying to understand what's going to happen the rest of the way, it's almost like you've got to check the news almost every hour. Okay, who's getting attacked now? Who's got it bad now? What's going to happen now? And so it's really hard to say, you know, somebody said today, so who's in the race? Who's ahead for MVP? I said, yeah, I guess Mahomes, but I don't know. It's that kind of year. It's just a weird year.
Look, man, you're in New York, right? Go up to 86 in second and go to Two Little Red Hens and get yourself a coconut or banana cream pie in my eye. You know what? I miss traveling. I miss you. Yeah. I miss concerts. I mean, I'm sitting on Stones tickets and Pearl Jam tickets. And, you know, I haven't even listened to the new Springsteen album yet because I just kind of want to save it. I just want to have a little thing I can have for the holidays or something. But yeah, it's been a weird time, man. I miss you. I miss sports. I miss having beer with you and ball games and doing all this normal stuff, and hopefully we all get a shot and get this mask off and maybe get back to normal sometime soon, bud.
Hey, listen, I want to see a baseball game. I want to sit. I don't care where it is. I want to sit in Camden Yards with 13 people, man. I just, you know, I don't care. I just, that's the one thing over the last 9 months, 10 months, whatever it is, that I really did miss. It was so bizarre, you know, a summer without baseball. So I hope we at least get that back at some point.
You gone to any of the empty stadium games? Have you been to games recently?
No, I have not been to a game the entire year.
I flew down to Houston week two, and I sat up on the roof with no one. And then I went down to Washington in that awful press box where you can't even see down in distance. And then I did Philadelphia, and they let a handful of people. And I felt sorry for the people that were there. I felt sorry for the people that paid in Philadelphia because it just looked like it wasn't any fun. There's nobody to high five. And I thought to myself, I don't want to participate. I'm out. I'm home watching on TV and Zooming. It's just – it's a terrible experience. It's not anything I ever wanted to experience sitting in a stadium alone.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, Nestor. I've thought of this. I mean, am I going to the Super Bowl this year?
I'm not. Nah, there's nothing there for me.
Yeah. I don't know. Stay safe. We'll see what happens. It's a fascinating experiment. It really, really is. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But hey, the most important thing is let's get this vaccine going. Let's get our doctors and our nurses. Let's get them vaccinated. Let's get the older Americans vaccinated. Let's get the police officers, the firefighters, and the EMTs. Let's get all of them vaccinated. And then let's worry about the rest of our toy room called life.
Springsteen at the Garden, man. Next winter, you and me, all right?
Love it.
Peter King, you can find him at Peter_King. You can find his Padres and his Twins throwbacks, Royals throwbacks, anything but a Pirates throwback. You bring any Willie Stargell or Omar Moreno around, we're going to have problems at Baltimore, King. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com reaches me. My wife will tell you about the delicious ice cream here at DeHarka and the wheels on the bus going round and round. Use Baltimore Positive, save $15.70. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking to friends about Baltimore Positive.